Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Well, this was unexpected this evening. We were hoping to have St. Louis Cardinals baseball for you, game two of a three-game series against the Royals. Instead, rain throughout the evening, and they're going to play two coming up tomorrow, a split doubleheader. 12:45 is going to be the makeup game, and then 6:45 is the regularly scheduled game, which will be the series finale. So here we are with the Graybar Sports Open Line, and it's great to have you with us. What a weird day it's been. I always like to kind of lift up the folks here at KMOX who do the important work, especially when it comes to severe weather coverage, you know, listening to Michael Calhoun and Dave Murray and them doing what they were doing today. So it's very much a real world sort of thing. And maybe I shouldn't have done what I did today, but I did. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are in the exact same kind of spot that I was in. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tornado sirens are going off. There was reports. I live in Chesterfield. There's a report of a Chesterfield tornado touchdown in Chesterfield, and we had lots of damage like in my neighborhood after the last storm that came through. They didn't say that there was a tornado, but lots of trees and things that came down. And I got to get to the ballpark. I got stuff that I got to do, 3:30, 3:40 or so. So I hop in my car and I start driving down 40, and it is just terrible. And the entire time I am listening to Michael and I'm listening to Dave and I'm listening to them go through where the system is at, where the rotation is at, where the heavy rain is, when it might be able to, you know, get a little bit clear. And they were spot on as always. Like I knew I was safe in terms of the tornado staying north of Highway 40, so that made me feel good. And then by the time I got to about Brentwood or so, I knew that the rain was going to let up in a pretty major way. What do you know? They were right. So it is, it's good to be able to have that kind of resource in our community that when we need it, we've got it. And yeah, then getting to the ballpark, and I was it took a little bit longer to get in today, so I was a little bit later than I would have liked to have been. The clubhouse was already open, and I was trying to collect the audio and everything that I normally do for the pregame show, and I was able to get that done. And by that time, I went back into our little studio at Busch Stadium, and I'm just about to start editing the audio and putting together everything that I need to put together for the pregame show. And we get a text message that says there's not going to be baseball today. And at that point, it's like 4:15, 4:20, And I know, okay, I got to get out of here. I got to get over to the station. We've got a full Redbird rush hour at 5 o'clock. So let's jump back up and get going and everything. So it has been a whirlwind day, to say the least. But all that being said, I'm glad that I'm here being able to talk a little sports with you, some Cardinals baseball with you here on a, what day is it? Is it Wednesday? Is it Tuesday? I literally have no day. It is Wednesday. That's something, I've said this before. When you work in baseball, you never know what day it is. It just feels like another day. I don't do as much weekend stuff, but having been somebody that previous to my time here, whether it was in minor league baseball, whether it was my time around the Brewers, it was an everyday thing. And the only thing that was really the differentiator that you always knew what day it was the Sunday day game. And yeah, there can be day games during the week, but those feel a little bit different. So I literally, until I looked it up on my computer 2 minutes ago, didn't know what day it was today. But it's Wednesday, so there you go. Happy Wednesday to you. We got a lot coming up on the program today. Coming up in about 9 minutes or so, we're going to talk with our friend Joe Roderick. He's part of the team over at Sports Hub STL. We'll talk some Cardinals with him. We'll see what else we get into. Always have fun conversations with Joe. So he's going to be coming up in just a little while. 6:35, we are going to be joined by Jake Zivin. He's going to be on the call this upcoming weekend as City SC looks for their second straight win. We haven't had many opportunities to talk because the Cardinals have been playing these night games all week, and we had a really, really busy show on Monday. But man, it was really good to see City SC pick up a victory this past weekend against San Jose, and now they are going to be on Sunday Night Soccer coming up this week as they go to Portland. So we'll talk with Jake about that. And then our friend Ryan Fagan, also part of the team at Sports Hub STL, just like Joe Roderick, he is going to join us at 7:20, and we'll talk Cardinals baseball with him. I just saw Ryan in the clubhouse a few hours ago. He was doing what I was doing, and now there's no baseball, so we will get him on Sports Open Line tonight. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, you've got multiple ways to do so. You can call or text the phone number 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave a chat message if you are watching us on the video stream. We are streaming, as always, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, wherever you might be watching us. If you can leave a comment in the chat, we will get that and we will address that as we go along. So I thought, not to pat myself on the back and not to pat Kevin on the back. I'd rather pat Kevin on the back than myself. But I thought Redbird Rush Hour today, we hit on a lot of interesting things when it comes to this team. Cardinals, obviously, because taking a step back, where they're at from a record standpoint, it's fine. Where they're at from a standing standpoint, it's fine. What they're doing here, not over the last 4 days, 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is, that's not great. But in the grand scheme of things, if you take a step back, it's still very good right now for the St. Louis Cardinals. When you take that step forward, you see a Rangers series where they gave up a ton of runs twice, and then a game yesterday against Kansas City that they should have found a way to protect the 7-2 lead. You have games like that over 162 games. They're bummer games. I can tell you, like, that last night was as much of a bummer game as we've had this season. I was not happy with the way things went down. It felt like that was one where the Cardinals should have walked away with a victory, and it simply did not happen. And then you start to look at some of the things that are going on. And all season long, for the most part, starting pitching has been really good. And it's been really good kind of in a unique type of way, like we talked about on Redbird Rush Hour. Not a lot of swing and miss. You have a little bit of it with Sonny Gray. You have a little bit of it with Matthew Liberatore. And you don't have a whole lot of it with anybody else at this point. And generally, that's not overly sustainable for really good teams, but to the Cardinals' credit, and Oliver Marmol's talked about this a fair amount lately. He talked about this on the Gas House Gang on Tuesday. This team, and he and Dusty Blake and everybody else who's part of the baseball operation, they looked at the situation, said, okay, there's not a lot of swing and miss. How do we make guys the best version of themselves if they're not going to strike guys out? And from a control standpoint and other things, they've been able to get the most out of these non-strikeout pitchers. But you ask the question, is it a sustainable thing? Can you keep winning games with that type of staff? We'll find out. The other side of it is the bullpen. And man, it has been a wave. It's been a roller coaster when it comes to the bullpen this year because it's been not good. And then basically at every moment this year, the bullpen has either been performing like one of the best bullpens in baseball or like one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And it's just they've been riding it. And when they were winning all those games and we were seeing the emergence of Kyle Leahy into what he was doing and Steven Matz was so good. And now those guys have taken a little bit of a step back here recently. How much of that is just kind of a regression to the mean where they weren't going to be carrying sub two ERAs? So there's got to be a correction in there versus whether there's actually something to be concerned about. Yeah. Well, I'd like to give you an answer on that. I really can't. I believe in those guys. But Kyle Leahy doesn't have a long-term track record, and Steven Matz doesn't have a track record of the bullpen. I think both these guys are going to be pretty good pitchers out of the bullpen this year and continue to contribute, but it's certainly something that we need to continue to keep an eye on. All right, Joe Roderick's going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere as we roll on. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. Right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I'm right here on KMOX.
You asked, we delivered. KMOX, now on FM. Crystal clear sound at 104.1 FM.
Back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. And if you're just tuning in, thinking that you're going to hear John Rooney and Ricky Horton broadcast Cardinals baseball. Sorry to disappoint, but we don't have Cardinals baseball tonight. Instead, we have Sports Open Line because the Cardinals game was postponed, and they'll play a doubleheader coming up tomorrow. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He's a friend of the program. He's part of the team over at Sports Hub STL. He is Joe Roderick. Joe, always good to talk to you. How are you?
Same with you, Matt. I wish I was at Busch Stadium with you right now, but alas, the phone will have to do.
I think you have become one of our OS. We have a full 2-hour show tonight. Let's call Joe because he'll come on.
if I ever turn you down, Matt, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, call the police or something, because there's something up with that if that's the case.
You know, I say that in the most lovingly way possible, by the way. Like, as that's coming up.
No, I love coming. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate you promoting what we're doing at Sports Hub STL, and I love talking baseball with you. So
there you go.
It's wins all around.
This team's playing really good baseball for the most part over the last month. This past week, couple games against Texas where they give up a bunch of runs, a bummer of a loss yesterday. I feel like almost in 162 games, you're not supposed to be living and dying with every single game. But with this Cardinals team where there was very little belief and then a little bit more belief, and now some people are taking a step back, it just seems like every day is resetting the barometric pressure of where this team is at.
Yeah, and it's weird because we're in June now, and we've been talking about this team a lot since February. And the way that we talk about this team is so different. We are to the third month of the season now, and we're still bringing up the fact that, you know, back at the start of spring training, back in February, if we would have been living and dying on this team, you would have thought we were crazy if we were talking to you about it. We thought this was going to be such a wasted summer, such a boring summer. You know, we were happy the Blues went on that run they did to get into the playoffs because they're like, yeah, they better go on a big run because they're going to need to save the summer because the Cardinals are going to suck. And they haven't. They've been fun to watch. They've played, I think they've exceeded all expectations more than probably any team in all of baseball. And I would much rather get mad at a Cardinal loss in early June than sit there and just look at my phone around 9:30 and go, oh, they're losing again. No, I'm locked in on all of these. And last night's loss, it got to me. It's one of the, I think Schaefer and Stefan were saying that it's the worst loss of the season. And I mean, that's maybe a little extreme, but you know, when the Cardinals are scoring runs, when they score 7 runs, you expect them to win these days.
Yeah, and more specifically, when they score 7 runs and they're up 7-2. And look, they did all of it against Michael Lorenzen, basically. The Royals started putting some bullpen guys out. Something I haven't talked about a lot that I've been thinking about, the Brant Brown is so good at putting together game plans for opposing starting pitchers. I do wonder, if they have this game plan in mind, then you get to the bullpen, if it takes a moment or so, like, I don't know. I'm just, it's those things that pop in my mind, and I don't know if it's real or not, but it was a stark difference yesterday between facing Lorenzen and every other bullpen pitcher that the Royals brought in.
And to take it a step further with the Brown preparation that he has, it seems like when they are facing aces, and I don't really consider Michael Lorenzen an ace. I know he was an all-star a couple years ago, but when they're facing the best of the best, they seem to be even more prepared against them. You've seen it against Paul Skenes. You saw it against the Phillies. Heck, they scored a run in the first inning off of Jacob deGrom when they faced him on Sunday. It appears as if they're like ready to go against these top pitchers, that he's able to find something with them, with the starting pitchers that gives him the edge for that. And that does kind of go against, you know, a few years ago you were just kind of itching to get into that bullpen of other teams because you know that they would go off on them. But that was, you know, a lot more veteran players then too. I feel like that was maybe the case, you know, when Pujols, Goldschmidt were kind of in the middle of that lineup. And yeah, you have seen them this year really kind of attacking those starting pitchers, those elite level starting pitchers too.
Yeah, there's something for young guys learning what it takes not just to get through 162 games, but what it takes to, you know, be able to get through 9 innings and get through 4 at bats and have that competitive edge every single at bat, every single day, every single week, every series, every month, you know, so on and so forth. And it is still a relatively young team, and it's the first time in a while that, other than Arenado, who's not a big offensive contributor right now, there's not a lot of deep veterans on this team. So the core of this team right now is the Donovans, is the Newt Bars, you know, the Herreras, and they've never been in a spot before where it's been on them to lead the way.
And with the technology the way it is too, you see a pitcher comes in, if they show a shot at the dugout, it's the next three batters kind of huddled around that tablet watching video of these pitchers. And maybe for a veteran, it's something they've gotten used to over the past few years. For a few of the guys you just mentioned there are, 24 and younger? So some of these core members of the team this year. And this is all pretty new to them, to have that kind of technology at their fingertips, to have, to know how to watch it and to know how to, gather that information quickly and take it right up to the plate.
Last night was the first of what was scheduled to be 13 straight days. Obviously, no game today because of a rainout. But now they got to do 11 straight days, starting with a doubleheader tomorrow, which doesn't put you in any better situation, even with getting a bullpen reset. We saw them push a starter in Pallante maybe further than they would have. I'll be really curious to see if they do that sort of thing with Miles Michaelis. This next month, Joe, is going to be really interesting as they try to win today, like the proverbial today, but they also try not to lose tomorrow or lose the next day because of a move you make that night. Like, just playing all these games in a short amount of time with this team that's still relatively young, it's going to be interesting to watch the moves and the decisions that Oliver Marmol makes.
I think tomorrow's their fifth doubleheader of the year now, which ties how many doubleheaders they had all of last year. And I'll tell you what, I haven't had a chance to look into it yet, do the research yet for it. When did McGreevy pitch last? Do we know when he pitched last for Memphis?
Yes, yesterday, but they pulled him out at like 70 pitches.
That doesn't do you any good tomorrow, though.
No, but it sounds there's some. I think John Denton put it out on Twitter. I'm of the belief that McGreevy is going to make at least two starts in the month of June. That either they're going to call him up, send him back down for 10 days, call him up again, and get two starts, or they're just going to call him up and go with a six-man rotation for the entire month of June, and he's just going to be here. Like, either way, I think McGreevy plays Zane in June. And John Denton on Twitter today said that he thought that we would see McGreevy start on Sunday.
Man, that does, if you could have predicted this weather, if you could have known it was going to be bad enough today to do that, to see if he would have gotten pushed or pulled yesterday and scratched before the game started and planned for that, I would have loved to see that. I am such a huge fan of what I've seen out of him and his starts last year. Everything he did in spring, he comes in here and shuts out the Mets. I want to see him be a part of this. I want to see him be a part of this rotation for the rest of the season. I don't know who you have to move out. I don't know if they trade Fetty to open a spot, trade Pallante, because I kind of see this as you're not trading for extra arms. You're trading one of those starting pitchers to acquire Michael McGreevy in your rotation. And that's what I want to see down the stretch run, because for everything I've seen, I know he's young. I know that he is very young and very raw when it comes to the major leagues. I've said this many times. I think Michael McGreevy, from what we saw out of spring training, from what we've seen in his last 5-6 outings in the big leagues, Michael McGreevy is a wild card round starter for this Cardinal pitching staff right now. That's how much I think of him, to where it's Sonny Gray, it's, I guess, Libitor this year, and it's Michael McGreevy. That's who I'm going with for my three-man rotation in the wild card round of the playoffs.
He is Joe Roderick, parked as part of the team over at Sports Hub STL. They're doing post games after all games. What you do is you listen to my Cardinal post game show, and then you watch the Sports Hub one later in the evening on replay. That's the way you need to work that one out. But whether it's Blues, whether it's City, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're doing a really fun thing now for the summer. We're counting up, I guess. We're going 0 to 99. The best St. Louis athlete, professional athlete, to wear every single jersey number 0 through 99. We just started it. We're having debates on some of the tougher choices with Bernie, with Randy Carricker, yeah, with Mike Claiborne. We were doing that. So we released our debate on number 2 the other day. We released our debate on number 7 earlier this afternoon. 5 and 6 were pretty easy choices, Matt. We didn't have to spend too much time deciding who the best St. Louis athletes were to wear number 4, number 5, number 6. There are some real easy ones out there, but then there's some that make it a little more difficult.
Yeah, and it was Bernie's all over with you guys, whether it's written content or video stuff. So, you know, obviously Bernie's here at KMOX as well, so it's fun to see the intermixing of everything that's going on. But Joe, appreciate
Absolutely.
The time. Appreciate you jumping on at the last second, and we'll talk to you again on a day where the Cardinals did not get rained out.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'll be sitting on my phone the next rain out waiting for your text. So it's we'll
gonna,
be good to go.
It's going to be a bit now where even if we get you on other days, we always have to get you on rain out days. I'm just saying it right now. That's the bit. We're going with it.
All for it, man.
All right. That's Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL. Always appreciate him taking some time with us. When we return, we'll talk some City SC soccer. Jake Zivin's going to be on the call this upcoming weekend as they match up against Portland. Do they have a second straight win in them? We'll get Jake's thoughts coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Tomorrow, the Cards, the Royals.
It's a split doubleheader. First game, 12:45. The second at 6:45.
Cardinals Radio. 104.1 FM KMOX.
I'll tell you what. So the Cardinals got rained out tonight, and we got an unexpected show. And whatever guest we happen to get on, they are saying yes in a very short amount of time. And we are very appreciative of all those people because not much lead time. And that includes Jake Zivin. He is the lead play-by-play broadcaster for MLS Season Pass. That means he's got the Sunday night soccer matchups in each week working alongside of Taylor Twellman. And he's got City coming up this weekend as they match up against Portland on Sunday night. And Jake Zivin joins us here on the program once again. Jake, always appreciate your time and thank you for saying yes at a last second nature of all this.
Matt, no problem. I grew up in Evanston, Illinois, a Cubs fan since the day I was born, so I'm happy to help out the Cardinals when they're rained out. And hey, the Cubs, because I can come and say the Cubs are in first place in the NL Central and in the entire National League as of right now.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk soccer in a second, but you brought it up. How as a Cubs, because, I mean, look, 38-22 is legit. And they're a half game in front of the Mets for the best record in the entire National League. How much do you believe in them, A, being this good, or B, being really good but not this good?
Yeah, look, I will say I am not nearly the game in and game out follower of the Chicago Cubs that was when I grew up and I listened to every game on the radio because I couldn't watch TV until I got my homework done. Pat Hughes and Ron Santo growing up. But, you know, now from afar, and I live in Portland, Oregon, more casual, it's excitement for the first time since they kind of broke up the World Series winning team, right? So I'm excited. I don't think they're as good as that team, again, from afar, not watching every game, but paying a little attention. But, you know, look, baseball's, if you get into the playoffs, anything can happen in a way, right? I don't know if they're at the level of the Dodgers, but we'll see. It's fun for at least them to be where they're at right now. Again, given, you know, how great it was when they won the World Series and then kind of how tough it was for that team to be broken up.
I guess I didn't, and it's on your Twitter account, so I should know. I guess I didn't didn't connect the dots that you're a Portland guy. So you get to sleep in your own bed. You got to love it when you've got Portland home games.
Yeah, I do. I do. And, you know, the past 2 years, we did a lot of games in Florida and with Lionel Messi coming to enter Miami. In Ohio, because the crew in Cincinnati were great. In St. Louis, because St. Louis City was so good their first year, and the atmosphere is incredible. So I was flying from the West Coast to at least, well, either right to the Mississippi River or usually east of the Mississippi River for a lot of games. And now this year, our schedule on Sunday Night Soccer has actually been a little heavy West Coast, Western Conference. So Taylor Twellman can fly across the country because he lives in the Northeast. And he can come on this side and he can make up for the past couple of years when I was flying that way most of the time.
I love the Sunday Night Soccer. Like, I'm a dad. You know, I've got two kids. So yeah. Weekends get bunched up with a million things. And obviously there's baseball stuff going on. And I know there's Sunday Night Baseball. But there's something about being able to sit in my office at the end of a weekend, kind of getting ready for the week and being able to turn on Sunday Night Soccer. I do it almost every week. So it's a nice thing that you guys have done. That Sunday night window, whether it's Sunday Night Football, you know, NBC's going to be doing in the Sunday Night Basketball this year. That's just, it's a really good window for live sports.
Man, that's great. You know, it's great to hear that. And we've heard that a lot, you know, all over, everywhere we go. People, I think, are watching and they're enjoying, as you said, the ability to have kind of an appointment viewing game every Sunday night where they know they can settle in and they can watch what will hopefully be a really good game. So I'm glad you feel that way. That was certainly one of the big intentions behind the creation of Sunday Night Soccer this year. And I think a lot of people have similar feelings to you. So keep watching. Yeah, we love it. Particularly, of course, when it's St. Louis City, as it will be this week.
Yeah, it's going to be match number two for David Critchley in the interim coaching role. Pretty good in game number one where they beat San Jose. They have the lead. They give up the late goal, which is something they've done a lot of. But what they haven't done a lot of is rebounding from that. And then they get their own late goal and they win by a 2-1 score. How different did they look like to you in that game compared to what you saw leading up to that?
Yeah, they did look different, right? It felt like they were able to kind of have some of the restraints taken off of just the way that they play. And I think David Critchley wanted that, and that was by design. It was winning a game is great, particularly in your first game with an interim manager. The first goal was a mistake from San Jose's goalkeeper, right? He didn't read the play right multiple times in maybe a 5-second span. That was earned really well, taken really well, and it's a really, really good win given how the season has gone, given the coaching change. But beyond the result, it just felt different. You know, I mean, even when the lineup came out, and I mean, we were used to at times this year, you'd see the starting 11 for St. Louis City, and we're looking like there's five guys in here that kind of play center back or have played center back. And then there's three defensive midfielders and just two attack minded players. And it felt so defensive. And then this 11 comes out, and there's just one center back in there, and Chris Durkin, a defensive midfielder, is playing center back. Now, certainly that's because of injuries and absences, but it just felt a little more opened up, a little more fresh, a little more energetic, which I think the team really needs. It looked that way on the field, and sort of the advanced data stuff, you know, points that way as well. And that's a good thing, I think. You know, I think this team really needed it, and I'm sure they're going to continue that, you know, week by week, and we'll see even more of that on Sunday in Portland.
Your broadcast partner, Taylor Twellman, we claim him. He's a St. Louisan. He may not live here anymore.
Yeah, of course.
He is passionate.
He claims you, yeah.
Yeah, he's very passionate about soccer in the city, and he's been he has not held back in his thoughts on some things that have happened. And it feels like a lot of the criticisms that he had about things that were happening under Olaf Melberg kind of got fixed very quickly in that matchup against San Jose.
Yeah, look, you know, ever since we've been calling games together for the past now 2.5 years, and what the second game, actually the first game we called together was St. Louis City's home opener, week two of 2023, because the game we were supposed to do on opening week was postponed because of weather in Los Angeles. So the first regular season game we ever called together was actually week two of that year, and it was that wonderful home opener. And he told me from the get-go I knew about the history of soccer in St. Louis, but about kind of the standard of the game in St. Louis, right? And that this is an educated fan base. It's an educated city when it comes to the game, and they expect the game to be played a certain way. And he, of course, has been pretty vocal, I think, about that over the past 6 months, or the 3 months of the season, really, as it's been. And, yeah, you know, I get it. I like to watch the game a certain way as well. And if you're playing really defensive and kind of, you know, almost safe and you're winning, that's okay, right? But if you're going to play that style, you do have to win, especially in a city like St. Louis that knows the game well and wants to be entertained by the game. And so when you're not winning and you're not playing a particularly entertaining style of soccer, it's going to, you know, yeah, it's going to be tough. So I do think that seemed to be changed, right, with this move. But we'll see. It's one game, right? And we'll see. And you know, David Critchley is an interim manager. Interim managers have become full-time head coaches before, right? And especially when it's super unexpected. But I think, you know, whoever takes over full time next, whether it be David Critchley or another outside hire, will probably be expected to set the tone with, yeah, a different style of play, one that's maybe a little more exciting and aggressive.
It's not going to be easy for them to be a postseason club. They are buried right now, yeah. And they have a ton of work to do. It's also not completely out of the realm of possibility that they get up into, you know, maybe one of those final two spots or something like that. It's possible, but that they have to win a bunch of games. Portland's a pretty good team. What does City need to do this weekend to have some success for a second straight week?
Yeah, first of all, when it comes to the playoffs, I don't think it's – look, it's not going to be easy, but they're only 6 points out of a playoff spot, and they have a game in hand over several of the teams above them. They win that game, they're only 3 points out of a playoff spot halfway through the season. That's certainly doable if they can turn it around like they did at the end of last year. And maybe this move being made a little bit earlier in the year allows that to happen, because they were good the last, eight regular season games of last year after League's Cup, but the hole was just a little too big to overcome, and they weren't quite good enough. They weren't undefeated, didn't win all of those last 8 games. But now there's enough of a runway, and it still looks very manageable. Not the 14, right, the second to last place, but when you look at the points, it does look manageable. Portland has been good this year, for sure. They are a team at home, particularly, that when they get going, they are really, really hard to stop. Portland and St. Louis are two of the best soccer cities in this country. Portland's history with the game goes back 50 years when the Timbers joined the NASL and it took over the city. I mean, they became a phenomenon. Their games were sold out, lines around the block trying to get in, and it has remained that type of city for 50 years. So St. Louis City supporters that come in, they're traveling or that are watching, they'll see a similar environment as Energizer Park, an educated fan base, a demanding fan base, a raucous fan base. And at times when the Timbers get going at home, it can feel like that ball is kind of getting sucked into the goal by the Timbers army, their supporter group. So St. Louis is going to have to, one, try to take that out of the game, right? Scoring first, important. And two, I think being compact. The Timbers have shown when the game's open and stretched and they can get out and run and be in transition, they are as good as any team in this league. When their opponents stay a little more compact and sit back and defend, they struggle to break it down. Now, if you're listening, and what we just talked about with St. Louis City's switch in style from Olaf Melberg to now David Critchley, actually Olaf Melberg's style may have played a little bit better into the Timbers' weaknesses, which are breaking down a team that is sitting back, that's defending with numbers in the box. And David Critchley, I expect him to continue to try to be more aggressive. He has to. That's got to be what he's tasked with as an interim manager after this change. That might actually play into Portland's hands, but we'll see. I mean, I think the important thing for St. Louis is going to be careful in transition with the Timbers, because when they get going and they have room and they get on a break, they can hit you just like that, and you think you're good, and then 5 seconds later, you're down 1-0. And they can do that as well as any team in this league.
Jake Zevin will be on the call this upcoming weekend for Apple TV MLS Season Pass. You don't need the MLS Season Pass for the Sunday Night Soccer. You do need the Apple TV subscription. But if you love yourself some Ted Lasso, so you got Apple TV as is, you're going to be able to watch on Sunday night. And we always encourage people to get the entire Season Pass package, because it's pretty amazing if you are an MLS fan, a soccer fan. Jake, always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this last minute, and I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
No problem, Matt. Absolutely. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Very good. You too. That's Jake Zevin joining us here on the program. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Blue.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX, starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We've got you till 8 o'clock tonight. Still one more guest to go, Ryan Fagan from Sports Hub STL. He's going to join us at about 7:20. We'll have an opportunity. I kind of treat this like the day game version of a Sports Open Line, where I always tell you during the extra inning show, we don't have time for phone calls and text messages and tweets, because we got to get you to the Dave Glover show. But don't worry, Don't you worry. We'll have you. We'll have that available for you on Sports Open Line. Well, yeah, there was not a game today, but we will open up phone calls or open up the phone lines and everything. If you want to chat anything Cardinals related at 7:05 after the 7 o'clock news, we will give you that opportunity to do so. Yesterday was one of those games where, man, there was a lot of controversy. There was drama. Maybe controversy is too strong of a word, but there was drama. There was a lot of. I enjoyed it because I enjoyed the baseball conversation. What I don't enjoy is people not being like completely open-minded about things. You would have thought, based off some of the text messages I got yesterday and even some of the social media conversations that have continued on today, you would have thought that Oliver Marmol made the biggest bonehead decision in the history of baseball when he allowed Andre Pallante to face off against Bobby Witt Jr. And I'll be the first to admit that, like, the optics of that moment of Witt being the guy who ends up beating you, like, the optics don't look good. But sometimes you gotta take a little bit of a deeper look at something and know what led up to it and everything else that's going around it, and see that there's a sound reason for the decisions that were made. If Pallante would have been pulled before the Witt at bat and they would have brought in somebody else, would have I been upset about that? No, like, that was one of those things where I'm fine with whatever decision that's made. But the decision to stick with Pallante made a lot of sense when you look at he had retired 13 in a row. Yeah, he gives up the home run on a mislocation pitch. But even those, when you break down those hits leading up to the Bobby Witt hit, you had a soft contact one. You had two hits with low probabilities, hit probability. Like, there weren't like these red flags just going up in the air that you got to get this guy out. By many measures, Pallante should have been out of the inning already, if not for some bad luck on some of these hits. And you just would have thought that it was a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. And I would strongly push back on all of that. But we can talk through some of that a little bit more. We did that a fair amount on the extra inning show. But we could talk through what's going on with this Cardinals team. So we'll do that after the 7 o'clock news. Stick with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Rolling on an unexpected show tonight. Sometimes those are the best. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so. You can call, you can text, you can tweet, or you can leave a video chat message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or if you want to leave a video chat, you just, whether you're on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, just leave a comment in the chat and we will see that. This is, I need help. Sometimes I just don't make the right decisions. Sometimes I prioritize the wrong things. I am generally up very late at night, like very late at night. And I need to go to bed earlier. I need to do a better job of being disciplined and getting my butt in bed at a respectable hour. It doesn't happen. When you work in baseball, when you work in sports, you're just, everything is later in the day. And my normal going to bed time generally at its earliest is 3:30 in the morning. And a lot of times it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm getting ready to go to bed this morning / last night. And I see a tweet, a Cardinals tweet, about yesterday's game and the decision on when to take Pallante out and all that sort of stuff. And my, for whatever, like, obviously the thing to do in that situation, because it's flipping 4 o'clock in the morning, is to put my phone on the charger and get myself in bed and maybe look at that at a later time. What do I do? I literally go back to my computer, I bring up StatCast data, and I start looking stuff up because I want to respond to this tweet. So I brought up the data on every single hit that occurred at the end of Pallante's day leading up to that WHIT hit. I was getting the hit probabilities and you know, ground ball and for like all kinds of stuff. And I send out this long tweet going batter by batter, giving like data and everything. That's me. 4 o'clock in the morning, long day, tired as all you know what. And you know what? I'm a dive into some data and send out a tweet because I'm going to. So that's my, I got problems sometimes. And that was one of my problems last night. But if you do want to talk about the Cardinals, have a little bit of time for you. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. Phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Leave that video chat like Steve did. And Steve sends a message that says, I think Marmol is doing the best he can with what he's got. The pitching is pretty thin. They need a couple more relievers that they can rely on and another starter. I agree with for sure the best of the first part about that. Like, we can't sit here and say, hey, this is a team that everybody thought was going to be terrible when the season got started, and then they haven't been terrible, and not give a fair amount of the credit for that to Oliver Marmol, right? Like, that's if you really want to be fair about things, you do have to be fair about that part. I think the pitching is thin. I would argue, and we've talked about this a lot. On the Redbird Rush Hour, the profile of the pitching is the question here, because yesterday is the great example of why you need more swing and miss. And I get it. There's a lot of people listening to me right now that are sitting here saying, look, you like pitch to contact guys, you like ground ball guys. Like, the game is aesthetically more pleasing when the game is played that way. Like, I'm not even arguing that. But what happened yesterday is you can have some things that normally aren't hits that come up as a hit. you know, to the point of that tweet that I sent out last night and just going through everything that happened. And this is why I was perfectly fine with Andre Pallante staying in the game. When you break down everything that happened there in that fifth inning yesterday, Caglione grounds out to get the inning going. At that point, Pallante has retired 13 in a row. Zero reason to even consider the fact that maybe Pallante's going to start to wear down or Pallante's going to start to be less effective. Then he gives up a home run to Lofton. If you look at the pitch, Pallante clearly misses his location. Bad pitch. Terrible pitch. Not a good pitch. Got a home run. You know what? That's baseball. That happens. So he retired 13 in a row, and then he gives up a home run. At that moment, there is still no reason whatsoever to be concerned about what's going on. Then Waters comes up. He gets a base hit that has an exit velo of less than 89 miles per hour that had a hit probability of 28%. Andre Pallante completely did his job in that spot. Pallante is somebody who works to the ground, and that is exactly what you want. A very low hit probability hit that just found its way through. That should have been the second out. Isbell then comes up to the plate, admittedly hits the ball hard. It was his hit was not one that was 88.6 miles per hour. I don't have the number in front of me, but it was a legit hard hit ball. But even that ball had just a 43% hit probability. So less than 50%, 43%. So if the numbers play out the way they should play out, the Waters hit should have been an out, the Isbell hit should have been an out, and the inning would be over. Still at this moment, there is no reason to be concerned about Pallante. He is doing exactly what you want him to do. He's going through he's getting his ground balls. They're all balls that should be outs. They just happen to find holes. Then India comes up and very legit hard hit single. Not going to try to tell you that that's something other than just a legit hit. So other than the home run, which was a mislocation, the India hit is the first time that he really gives up the legit, everything about this says it's going to be a hit. Give all the credit in the world to the hitter. There's no luck involved in this. So for the people who are complaining about last night, I just went through all of that. When are you getting the bullpen up? It's the first of 13 straight days of baseball. You can't be getting relief pitchers up and down and up and down. And Ollie has said that in this period where they have to find ways to keep their bullpen as rested as possible, they are going to ask starting pitchers to maybe go a little bit deeper in games. That makes all the sense in the world. There's nothing outlandish about that. That is a very sound way of thinking. So going through everything that I just went through, hitter by hitter by hitter, where do you see the opportunity to get somebody up? And to me, the first time you really see that is the hard hit single off the bat of Jonathan India. And even the hit that Bobby Witt gets, that was just out of the reach of Mason Wynn. That had a solid hit probability. That was a hard hit ball, solid hit, all that sort of thing. But with where Wynn was set, he almost got to that. And the Isbell hit, he almost got to that as well. So Wynn almost got to two of those. The other one had a 28% hit probability. Like, there's just not this clear spot where, oh, yeah, you got to get Pallante out. And I had a lot of people on social media pushing back today on, you had to get Pallante out because of who he's been over his last five or six starts. Well, if we're going to play that game, who's Steven Matz been recently? Who's Kyle Leahy been recently? And I really like these guys, and I think they are putting up fantastic numbers. But even they have taken a step back. Now, to be fair about things, that they haven't taken the same step back that Pallante has. But Pallante hasn't been, per se, bad. Over his last six starts going into yesterday, he had one really bad start. Had a bunch of kind of average, slightly above, slightly below average type games that went in aggregate. They turn into not so great numbers, but in its own thing, you don't really look at that hard. But I just I really pushed back on the people who were really upset about the way things went yesterday, because it's one of those where if you really break down what is happening in the moment, hitter by hitter by hitter, and knowing that you've got a lot of games in a row, knowing that you want to save the bullpen, knowing that you don't want to get relief pitchers up a lot without getting them into the game. You don't want to do that over and over. You're going to give starters a little bit more leash because of that. I don't have a problem with any decision that was made when it came to that yesterday. We will take a break, and we'll roll on here in just a moment. Ryan Fagan from Sports Hub STL, longtime baseball writer. He joins us coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
KMOX is now on 104.1 FM, the same great station with even better sound.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to be with you today. A little bit of an unexpected show after a rainout today for the Cardinals. I was just talking to this guy in the Cardinals clubhouse a few hours ago. He made it out to the ballpark, and then they don't even play a game for him. He is Ryan Fagan. He continues to cover baseball, doing it at a lot of different places, including working with the folks at Sports Hub STL, and he's on Twitter at Ryan, F-A-G-A-N. Ryan, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. I was looking forward to hearing the crack of the bat a couple times tonight from the press box. So that didn't happen, but you know, that's okay. That just means more baseball tomorrow, right?
Yeah, a lot of baseball tomorrow with a couple games to be played. It's never as good as it is at its best. It's never as bad as it is at its worst. But we've seen an extreme difference this year with the Cardinals when they have played seemingly their best baseball and have played their worst baseball. It's maybe still early to ask this, but who do you think who they really are is closer to, that really good version or the not-so-good version?
I think they're closer to the really good version. And again, that's not to say they're going to go 16-4 or something like they did not too long ago. But I think when you look at some of the losses that they've had, it's easy to look at the games they've played and said, okay, well, just don't make that simple mistake, right? Just play the tight defense that we've seen that they can do along for long stretches. And I think, you know, when you look at what makes teams successful, if it's a team that's got a lot of hitters and they're hitting very well, you know, a good pitcher is going to stop that from time to time, and that's going to be a problem. But if it's a team that plays good defense, generally speaking, they will play good defense more than they do not play good defense. And, you know, especially some of the games, two of the losses in Texas, you know, the defense just wasn't there, and it wasn't like they weren't making great plays, right? It was just they didn't make some of their team plays that they've made the first 50-some odd games of the year. So you feel like that's something that can come back. You know, I think the bigger question is the starting pitching going to continue to be as good as it is? And we've even seen, you know, Herrera's come back to earth a little bit, but, you know, it's not like it's impacted the way that they can win baseball games, because they have enough guys in that lineup who can do a little bit of damage and come up with big hits so they can survive, you know, Ivan Herrera not being on a pace to hit .410 with 57 home runs in the year. And as long as they play that good defense, I think they'll be fine. I'm not sure they're going to be a team that's going to push for, you know, 95 wins, but they're closer to a 95 win team than a 65 win team.
In three of their last four games, they've given up a lot of runs, 11 and 8 in their two losses against the Rangers, and then obviously the 10 runs that they gave up yesterday. You just mentioned starting pitching. It feels like there's a lot of question marks beyond Sonny Gray and Matthew Liberatore. There's not a lot of swing and miss. We saw that really beat up on Pallante yesterday, where some ground balls turned into hits, and then that turns into the decisive inning. Is that just who this team is, and they've got to find a way to kind of work through it?
I think that's right. That is who it is. Because I mean, you look at this rotation, and I mean, aside from Sonny Gray, it's not you know, and Liberatore to an extent, it's not a lineup that's going to go out there and average, you know, 9-10 strikeouts per nine innings. It's going to rely on defense, and when you are a pitcher who relies on putting the ball in play, that BABIP, the batting average of balls in play, the BABIP monster is going to bite you from time to time. It's just how it is, and there's no way around that. The way to counteract that is, you know, with good scouting reports and good defense and being in the right place and then making the play when the ball comes to you. But that only goes so far. You know, there are times where it seems like every ground ball is going to find a hole and sneak into the outfield. That's kind of what happened to Pallante yesterday. And that is absolutely going to happen from time to time. And there's no way around it. You set up and you know you have these players. You know you have these types of pitchers in the rotation. And they've got the type of not just defenders at home, but the type of ballpark that can allow you to still be successful with that. I think when you look at, you know, this is a totally different conversation, but when you look at getting into the postseason, that's where you're a little more worried about not having swing and miss type guys in the rotation, because that's when everything is heightened and the better offenses are there. But over a course of 162 game season, if you have guys who are going to put the ball in the strike zone, Mike Michaelis's case, sometimes work out of the strike zone maybe a little bit more than he has in the past, and be willing to accept a couple of walks if you get guys to chase balls and make weak contact, it's going to be there. But yeah, you're going to have games like that. I'm not sure there's any way around that at all.
I saw something today on social media. I wish I could find it again, and I can't. But it was expected slug versus slugging percentage, and there's a 23-point differential so far this year in terms of expected slug, where slugging percentage across Major League Baseball is 23 points lower than expected slug, and that is the highest number through June in a long time. Does that go to what you were just talking about, that even in an era now where you can't have the overshift, that these teams are really, really good at just knowing where to position defenders?
Yeah, I mean, and there's a I don't want to say an art to it, because it's a lot of math and numbers and advanced analytics that help you put you in those positions. But you know, I think some of the good coaching staffs out there are kind of blending that with a little bit of the old gut, right? You know what I mean? There'd be ballplayers say, okay, well, my pitchers, or there'd be managers say, like, oh, my pitcher's tiring a little bit, so this guy who may not have been able to get around on his fastball in the second inning, maybe in the sixth inning, is going to try to see shade guys over. And I think there's at least an awareness that you can blend those things. You don't have to go fully by the numbers. And but yeah, I mean, I think there's so much more information out there. These teams have the tools to know where a guy is going to hit a slider that is, you know, 1 mile an hour slower than a normal slider from this pitcher, depending on where it is. They know where the ball is likely to go off the bat, right? And so you do the best you can with that information you have. But again, you know, you have to have the type of defenders who can do something with it, with being in the right spot. And for the most part, the Cardinals have those guys all over the ballpark.
Yeah, from a margin of error standpoint, in that inning yesterday, two of the ground balls literally were just, you know, inches, centimeters, yeah, out of the reach of a diving Mason Wynn. First off, I can't remember an inning where there were two ground balls that were just out of the reach of Wynn. And then the second side of that is, if Wynn is one step further over in his starting position for either of those, they don't score any runs in the inning. So, I mean, that it just shows how thin the margin can be on everything that's going on in this game.
And that's why scouting departments and all of the folks in the front offices love swing and miss. They love guys who have arms that can get those swing and miss. That's why a guy like Helsley is so valuable in the bullpen and in the latter innings. That's why, you know, even as Sonny Gray struggled at times, especially early in the year, that's why he's still their best pitcher. You know, I mean, we talk about this on Sports Hub, you know, when Joe Roderick and I would do the show on Fridays, and he'd be like, well, okay, well, if the season started now, or the playoffs started now, who would be your number one starter? It's still Sonny Gray. Like, I don't care if he's had a bad outing. He's still the guy that is going to go out and get swing and miss. And you look at him, he's got, you know, he's the only Cardinal starter averaging more than a strikeout per inning, and there's nobody else particularly close. You know, Libertor's in second place among those starters at 7.8, and Sonny Gray's almost at 10 at 9.9. He's still the guy, and that's why they love that. That's why guys who have swing and miss stuff will command more on the trade market, but command more in the free agent market, because it takes one of those elements out of the equation. And I'm not going to say it's luck, but it's kind of a luck element too. You know, like you said, just one step over a half step over and win, get some of those. Of course, on the other hand, if he's a half step the other way, he's not even close. Right. We don't think about it. But, you know, and that, yeah, I think that's just – it's yet another way to illustrate how important the swing and miss is. And, yeah, again, that's something that as a rotation, the Cardinals just don't have a lot of.
Cardinals are chasing the Cubs. Cubs are 38-22. I think most people thought that on paper the Cubs were the best team in the division when the season got started, but very few people saw them having the best record in the National League on June 4th. You've covered this game from a national perspective for a really, really long time. When you look at the Cubs, how legit do you think their record is?
Well, I will say this. And this is not, it's going to sound like a knock. It's not. The Cubs have done a really, really good job of beating the teams that they should beat, right? And I think that when you look at the teams they've played lately, you know, going back to the middle of May, you know, a series against Miami, followed by a series against the White Sox, followed by a series against Miami, you know, since Cincinnati, and then the Rockies, Cincinnati again, and now the Nationals. And it's not exactly world beaters. And again, I'm not saying that is a bad thing, because in that stretch, you know, the Cubs have gone 15-4. That's what good teams do. That's how you get into the playoffs. That's how you get home field advantage. You have to beat up on the teams that are not very good, because, you know, it may not feel like it when you look at a 162-game schedule compared to the NFL, where they play far fewer games and every game matters more. But if you are mediocre against the bad teams, you're probably not going to be where you want to be in the playoff picture. The Cubs have done a really, really good job of not just beating those teams, but beating up on those teams. I mean, in that stretch, you know, they're 15-4 since May 11th, and they've outscored the other team 116-64. I mean, they're smoking these teams, but that's what you have to do, you know. And the am I going to say that the Cubs are that much better than the Cardinals or the Brewers? I mean, the Brewers have been playing better baseball lately too. And I think they're a team that, even as bad as they started, that's still a really good team and is going to factor into the equation. But the Cubs have done what they need to do. They've beat up on the teams that are not very good. And that's how you get into the postseason. And that is taking care of business against those types of teams. And they've done that.
Ryan Fagan, part of the team over at Sports Hub STL. He's covered baseball for a really, really long time, and we're sad he didn't get to watch baseball tonight, but he will again at some point in the near future. Ryan, thanks for the time as always. We'll catch up again real soon.
Always enjoy. Thanks, Matt.
All right, very good. That's Ryan Fagan joining us here on the program. Appreciate him. Again, kind of a last notice sort of thing where we didn't know we were going to – we learned that we were going to have a Sports Open Line tonight at about 4:20, and then we went into the planning stages at that point to try to get everything put together. So appreciate all of our guests tonight with Joe Roderick, Jake Zivin, and Ryan Fagan all joining us, a couple Sports Hub STL guys in there. And they even mentioned they do a show together on Fridays talking all things at Cardinals baseball. Glad that Ryan has Ryan's a fantastic baseball writer and has done it at the national level for a really long time, and great that he's able to be back part of it on a more common basis with the work he's doing over at Sports Hub STL. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or if you are watching on the video chat, you can just leave a comment and we'll respond to those as we are taking you until 8 o'clock tonight, and then the Gas House Gang with Tom Ackerman and Chris Ranji will be coming up after that. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Its manager Holly Marble joins the Gas House Gang every Tuesday at noon. Sponsored by Siteman Cancer Center on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Have you for another 20 or so minutes. Take you to 8 o'clock tonight. And then we've got our Gas House Gang replay with Tom Ackerman and Chris Ranji. That's going to take place this evening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Talking all things Cardinals baseball. Again, if you want to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, tweeting at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or leaving a video message. Eddie sent in a question asking about tomorrow's doubleheader and whether or not we know who the extra player is going to be for tomorrow. We don't. They'll announce that coming up tomorrow. If I'm making the decision, and I'm not, but if I'm making the decision, I take the opportunity to get Ryan Fernandez back in here for a day because I'm a big believer in Fernandez. I was also a big believer in he needed to get to AAA based off the way he was pitching earlier this year. Like, you had to get him fixed. But we saw last year from Fernandez how good he can be and how impactful he can be as he worked his way into more high-leverage spots last year. And he has a live arm. So with the way it works is when you bring the guy up for the doubleheader, the extra guy for the doubleheader, there's not the rule that goes along with it that when they return to AAA the next day that they have to stay down at AAA for 10 days. So I think tomorrow is a fantastic opportunity to get Fernandez up and take a look at him, make sure to get him in one of those games and see how he looks. This is what he's done at Memphis recently. He last pitched yesterday. Yesterday, he went two innings, gave up one hit with three strikeouts. Before that, on May 30th, he went an inning and two-thirds, no hits, three strikeouts. Before that, May 25th, went two innings, no hits, two strikeouts. Before that, inning and a third on May 23rd, no hits, three strikeouts. So three of the four outs were strikeouts. He has given up one total run over the course of his last one, two, three, four, five, six, seven outings. It's pretty good. Average against in the month of May was 190. No. 213, excuse me. Strikeout to walk ratio was 21 to 10. Whip was a little high, but not terrible. So that's what I would do because he still profiles to be a very big part of this bullpen this year. So I think tomorrow is a fantastic opportunity to take a look at Ryan Fernandez and see what he's going to do. All right, let's give Tate has given us a call. Tate, you are on Sports Open Line. Hey.
I just wanted to say I hope the Cardinals sweep the doubleheader tomorrow, even though there was no game tonight.
I hope so too. Appreciate the phone call, Tate. Yeah, I love that. Go sweep the doubleheader, win two out of three. You know, that's we were talking about this before this series even started, where there was a little bit more of an importance in winning some of these games against Kansas City because of what the schedule looks like after Kansas City leaves on this homestand, because after this, you've got the Dodgers coming in for three. And you also have Toronto coming in for three. So it's a nine-game homestand, and this is not me taking a shot at Kansas City. I think they're a good, not great club. But I would argue that between Kansas City, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays, that Kansas City is the least of those three. Now, Toronto's got a record at 31-29. Kansas City is 32-29, so Kansas City does have a slightly better record than Toronto, but I just think on paper, Toronto is a better team than Kansas City. So if you're not that they are going to lose the series to the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are one of the best teams in baseball, if you're setting yourself up to potentially maybe lose two of the three there, if you can win two of three against Kansas City, then you can go into that Toronto series, you know, even Steven in the homestand and try to take two of three from Toronto. And then maybe at that point you can win the series. So have to see if they can do that and sweep the doubleheader coming up tomorrow. I had a question asking about pitching and why it's kind of gone downhill over the past 10 or so games, saying, is it mismanagement by Oliver Marmol? Is it pitchers tiring out? Is it something else? It's not mismanagement by Marmol. If anything, I think he is very good at kind of staying the course. And if you believe in your guys and you got talented guys, I mean, you think about where the bullpen was and then how it came back. There were moves in terms, again, going back to Ryan Fernandez. It was around the time that Fernandez got sent to AAA. But, basically roles stayed the same. Starting pitching has not been as effective. It has not gone as deep into games. That's had a bit of a domino effect when it comes to the bullpen. There was always going to be, without a doubt, and it's kind of happened fairly quickly, but there was always going to be a little bit of a regression from somebody like a Steven Matz and for somebody like a Kyle Leahy, because, you know, bluntly, they were not going to be able to continue putting up the kind of numbers that they have been putting up. You are not going to see a sub 2 ERA from each of those guys. Now, it is obviously, for both those guys, the numbers have jumped up a little bit quicker than you would have liked to have seen, for sure. So when we look at what's going on right now, specifically with Matz and Leahy, because those are the two high leverage guys that have not been quite as good here recently. For Matz, he has given up runs in three of his last four appearances. He has given up five runs over his last two appearances. So the number he is, his ERA over his last four appearances, his ERA has gone from 1.74 to 2.60. 2.60 is still a really, really good ERA, but it has obviously jumped a lot in a short amount of time. Kind of the same story on Kyle Leahy. He also has given up runs in three of his last four appearances. One of those appearances against Arizona, he only got one out while he ended up getting, while he gave up three runs. And we've seen his ERA jump. He was at 1.24, and that ERA has jumped up to 2.56. So, again, a really solid ERA at 2.56. But when it comes to Matz and Leahy, they each of them have seen a sizable percentage of their total runs all come in a short amount of time here. And that's actually going back. And I'm not trying to do yesterday's postgame show, but just in having some conversations that I had with people today on social media, continuing to really break down yesterday, and so many people were so upset about Pallante being allowed to face Bobby Witt yesterday. And I had a lot of people say, look at Pallante over his last six games. And I'm not going to redo this whole conversation, because Kevin and I went deep on this during the Redbird Rush Hour on what we have seen from Pallante recently. But there was a lot of argument towards using Pallante's numbers from his last six games, where he's got a 5+ ERA, using that as a reason to not allow him to pitch to Witt yesterday, where at the same time, you wanted to see Steven Matz in there. And as good as Matz has been, he has also been trending in the wrong direction. Now, I'm not trying to spin things. I'm not trying to not be fair here. Matz's recent downturn, if you want to call it that, that's probably a little bit extreme, but you understand where I'm going with this. For Matz, it's not quite as long as it was with Pallante, where his numbers have come back. But to me, it was a little bit silly that we're sitting here having people clamor for one guy to get taken out of the game, in part because of what his numbers have been recently, when they wanted somebody else to come in whose numbers recently have also not been fantastic. Let's go to Gerard, who's given us a call. Hey, Gerard, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I mentioned to the screener guy that what I remember about this year, we've been pretty good in these doubleheaders, these rain delay doubleheaders. Because I remember we played the Mets. Now, this is going back 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And that's what started us turnaround. We lost five games in a row to them. You know, a series there, and then, any rate, and we had two games left with them in the series. We ain't beat them yet. I think we were 0-5.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had two games left with them. They're beating us again. We got the lead, ninth inning. They brought JoJo in, and he ain't been good yet. But it turned him around. And he froze that Alonzo at the plate, like with the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth, whatever it was. And he froze that Alonzo, their best hitter. Then we won the next game, you know, on that rain delay, of what I remember. And it just seems like since then, they've been playing some ball. I know it gave JoJo some more confidence, because our bullpen was terrible there for a little while. And let me say this. I love your analysis. If you'll comment on that, I appreciate it. But I love your analysis on Pallante, because I start to worry about him too. But I agree with you. I like that what you said about him today. He'll be fine. And then the other two, you talked about Leahy and Matz.
Yeah.
I don't mind them giving up these runs here because they're games where, you know, their numbers aren't going to be in the ones. You know, their ERA aren't going to be in the ones. I mean, it's just going to happen. Sooner or later, they're going to give up some runs. And I'm okay with it right now. I mean, we end up getting blowed out anyway. So I don't mind them creeping up to 2.5 or whatever. But at any rate, I love your analysis. Tell me what you think about my last comment. And I'm always happy to listen to you, Matt Pauly. You do a great job.
Thanks, Gerard. Appreciate the phone call. Good call right there. Cardinals record, by the way, in doubleheaders this year. They have a 5-3 overall record. They've gone 2-1-1 in doubleheaders. So they've swept two doubleheaders. They've split one, and they have been swept in one this year. But generally, you split doubleheaders, so the fact that they've got two sweeps this year, that's a pretty good spot to be in. You know, this I think Gerard's right when you really go back and see when the Cardinals' strong run began. That doubleheader sweep of the Mets, that was a big moment. They just had not been able to beat the Mets for whatever reason. Talk about meet the Mets. They couldn't beat the Mets, and they were able to have some success against them. And with that, they took 2 of 3 in the series, and then that's where it really took off. Now, they split a series, to be fair. Before that, they took 2 of 3 against Milwaukee, which was a really important series, and then they split a 4-gamer on the road against Cincinnati. That's totally fine. But that was the first time there in that run that they beat a really good team. They took 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and then just a week later, they were able to take 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia. They won a series against Arizona, sweeping them. They easily could have taken 2 out of 3 from Detroit, who had the best record in baseball. But yeah, that doubleheader sweep of the Mets, that is a big moment and a big part of this team being able to take steps forward. One more break. We'll come back. And if we got time for calls before we're done, we'll get some in there. I'm not sure if we will, but I'll take one more break. We'll wrap things up in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in this edition of the program. If you're just now joining us and you're trying to figure out why in the world you're not listening to Cardinals baseball, well, that's because tonight's game has been rained out and it's going to be made up as a doubleheader tomorrow. The schedule for tomorrow, game one is at 12:45. That means our pregame coverage will begin tomorrow morning at 11:50. And then the second game is going to be at the regularly scheduled time of 6:45 with a 5:50 broadcast here on KMOX. For those of you who had tickets to one of these two games, nothing. If you had tickets for the second game tomorrow, what has turned into the second game was originally the only game. Well, that ticket remains the same for that game. If you had tickets for today's game, then you're able to get into the early game tomorrow at 12:45 Central Time. So, I hope all the folks that made their way in from Kansas City have been able to enjoy an evening in St. Louis for sure, because there were a lot of Royals fans there. That was the debut of Jack Caglione, which was cool to see. But there were a lot of Royals fans. They certainly made a little bit of noise. I joke, and I say this somewhat facetiously, you know, Cardinals fans have taken over Kauffman Stadium for years and years and years and years and years. Yesterday was one of the first or one of the only times where, not that they took over, but there was certainly a larger presence of Royals fans at Busch Stadium yesterday than there are for most Cardinals-Royals games that are played here in St. Louis. Eddie sent in a question on the video chat asking, what are my thoughts on the pitcher that was signed yesterday? That is Tyler Matzek. Yeah, worth a flyer is probably what I would say on him. He's a guy who's been a little bit banged up here recently. He's had some good moments, but he is somebody who you look and see what he's going to be, and I think he's probably going to be somebody who's given a big league opportunity at some point in the relatively near future. That is it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Again, we've got Cardinals baseball coming up tomorrow. Thanks so much for being tuned in, and we will talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.